It's the weekend. It's Friday. Maybe you want to watch a good movie. You just want to watch a classic movie. So what do? You turn on your Roku, your streaming device. You go online to find it, and it doesn't exist anymore. Don't be in that position. Maybe you should take some of the advice I'm going to offer you in today's episode about my brand new hobby. Welcome, Counsel Trent Free for All Friday. Mondays and Wednesdays, we talk apologetics and theology here on the podcast, but Friday is when I just talk about whatever I feel like talking about. And today I want to talk to you about a new hobby that I have. So I have my one hobby, you know, jiu-jitsu, I go out and do, and that's a lot of fun. And another kind of hobby people get into is collecting, right? You know, people will collect stamps, or they'll collect pins, they'll collect bottle caps. And I think collecting can be a really great hobby. You know, maybe they'll collect Pokemon. Gotta catch them all. Pokemon. There's Funko Pops, different things that people want to collect. Maybe they want to collect first editions of books. And I think most collecting type hobbies are usually pretty wholesome. So what I want to do, though, is I want to collect physical media. I don't know what changed in me just like a few months ago, but all of a sudden I got into kind of this panic that like there's media that I enjoyed or media that I liked maybe 20 years ago, 25 years ago. Then maybe I want to watch it again, but I can't find it and it'll just be lost. It's not out there anymore. And I want to be able to have that. So I want to talk today about like, this is my new hobby of collecting and compiling physical media of films, television shows, things that I've enjoyed. Eventually, I'm going to get that into music as well. I'd love to get like a vinyl collection. But I mean, a lot of them, like the audio, this happens too also for music though. A lot of you might think, oh, for music, I'm just going to do Amazon Stream or Spotify. You know, it's this whole streaming thing, right? And we don't actually have anything. We don't own anything anymore. So that's what I want to talk about. I mean, I was big into DVD collections for a while. I started collecting DVDs probably when I was, 17, 18 years old. And I moved out, and what I would do each week, I was just a poor college kid. But if I would go to the Walgreens or the Walmart or, wherever, and I would see a DVD is out there in the bin for like $5, and it turns out to be a classic or a good one, I would just snatch that up. I'd take it home. I remember the first place I lived in Kansas. When I first moved out, I started working for the pro-life group Justice for All, and I got a studio apartment. This is going to make some of the Gen Z people listening get really upset, by the way. Whenever you'll talk about old prices, you always get mad. Like when you listen to someone who said, why is it so hard for you? When I was in the 1970s, I bought a house for $82 and I went to college for a nickel. I mean, I know that's more like the 1910s, but no, I mean, back in the 50s, what's crazy about houses, by the way, like in the 1950s, a house could be cheaper than the two cars parked in the garage. Most people didn't have two cars. So if you had two cars in your garage together, they were probably worth more than the house that you bought in the 50s. So I feel so bad for kids now in this generation. When you're trying to do something, you can't, all the prices have skyrocketed and things like that. And so when I was on my own, I got a studio apartment in Wichita, Kansas, in the nice part of town, the east side of town. It was a nice part of town where I lived for about $370 a month. It was a studio, but it was a nice, respectable place. And I remember it was a total bachelor's place. It had a curtain you could draw across for the bed area. And then in the living area, I had my big couch I got just on online Craigslist. And I had an entertainment stand and a TV I got on Craigslist. The TV, oh my goodness, it probably cost me like $300 for the TV. And the TV probably weighed, I am not kidding you, 250 pounds. It was this giant monster of a television. If you wanted a big screen TV, remember those things? They were huge. And I got it used. It, brand new, that thing probably was like $2,000. But I got it used. Someone was getting rid of it. 65-inch TV. Got my friends to help me move it. We were lugging it in like, oh, let's get it in here. And finally got it in. And I was so happy. I'd go to work during the day. At night, I'd work on my master's program from Steubenville. And then I would go and I'd play Xbox Live with my friends back in Phoenix. It was the bachelor life. But bachelor life, and then I would eat like my grocery store sides on the table and things like that. And then when I wanted to watch films, I just go out and I would pick up DVDs cheap. And so I collected those over time. One thing I am sad about though is I got rid of the DVD cases because I was always moving around. One time I realized I was traveling so much with Justice for All. I was traveling from college campus to college campus doing missionary work that I was only in my apartment about 4 days a month at some points. So what I did was I got out of my lease and I rented a room from a friend, $20 a night if I had to stay there. And I just spent like one semester, I was just traveling. I never had a house. I kept it in like a little storage thing at a guy's house he let me use. And that was that. So to keep my DVDs, I got rid of the cases and I just bought like a zip up, you know, CD holder, one of those big thick ones. So I don't have the cases for a lot. So I have about 150 or 200 DVDs in that from since I bought when I was, you know, in college. I don't have the cases for them. I wish I had the cases now since I'm a grown up and I can have bookshelves and places to put them, but it all works out. So I had a lot of those and I've been doing that for a while. And then I stopped buying DVDs, you know, around 2020 when the big streaming revolution happened. We had COVID and suddenly you had streaming programs, you know, you had Netflix, Disney Plus, Amazon, and you could rent movies on Amazon. Maybe you didn't feel like buying it. It's like, I mean, I used to rent movies from Blockbuster, but that's such a pain, right? Might as well just, if I could buy something for $5, that'd be amazing. Or not have to do Redbox, things like that. And so I would go onto like Amazon and just buy films there. And so I started buying some stuff there. You know, and obviously, you know, Laura and I were married at this time. We were still buying DVDs here and there, but it was just addictive, right? You know, you just go to Amazon, like, oh yeah, let's just buy this. You just turn on the TV, click, it's there. You don't have to worry about DVD quality, like scratches on the DVD. You don't have to worry about losing it. It's like there, it's easy. You can watch it and it's right there. And I started doing that for a while with the kids. Sometimes we would buy animated series, things I knew they would like, but then you just get the subscription service. It's like, well, I don't want to buy all these things. Let's get the subscription service. And for a while, I thought, yeah, this is great. This is easy. But in the past few months, I've just had this nagging sense of worry that, like, this isn't great. There's a lot that's not great about this. And the biggest thing is that you don't really own this stuff. When you buy, quote unquote, a movie on Amazon Prime, for example, you don't own it. You purchase a license. You purchase a license to view it. Now, technically, when you buy a DVD, you also are kind of purchasing a license. Like, you buy the DVD and you have a license to show it in your own home. That's why there's like that warning at the beginning of it, what it's licensed for. You can't buy a DVD and then set up a movie theater and show it to people and charge money for everybody to see it. You know, so that, you know, unless, I don't know who would do that, but you know, you're not supposed to do that. So when you buy from Amazon though, but here's the thing. If you violate that license, what are the odds you're going to get in trouble? But with Amazon, the license and all the fine print, you buy it, they can take it away from you whenever they want. It can just disappear. It could just be gone. They can just take it and it's not there anymore. And this has happened on Apple TV and other places. There have been series that people have bought and then they're removed and then you can't get them back anymore. And so I was thinking, no, I like a lot of this stuff. I want to keep it. I just want the stuff that I own to physically be in my house. I don't want it on the cloud. I want it on a hard drive in my home inside of a Faraday cage protected from electromagnetic pulses. I don't want it in the Amazon cloud. I want it in the DVD box in my house that I can watch whenever I darn well feel like it. And also there's a few other reasons. One is this is the rare one, but it's my apocalyptic scenario. Like what if there is just like not the apocalypse, but you know, something really bad, like the grid goes down or there's massive disruptions in telecommunications. And you're going to be wanting to get through life and there's things to be stressful. You want to get through stuff. And maybe you just, in a break from the apocalypse, you want to just watch a movie. You want to just watch a movie. And you just can't get to all your streaming stuff. It's gone. I mean, heck, a lot of that streaming stuff, you can't, if your internet is out, you can't watch it unless you download it locally. But a lot of people don't do that. You can't watch it if it's, and even if you download it locally, it has a timer built in like Disney Plus. If you download the stuff locally, it becomes unplayable after like a week or something like that, or a few weeks. So I think, no, I want to just be able to watch this whenever I want, not depend on internet or all this other stuff. Now you might be saying, well, Trent, if it's the apocalypse, how are you going to watch anything on a TV anyways? Good question you asked. I've also invested in portable DVD players. Well, I have one portable DVD player for a while. It's getting a little bit old. I might get another, but they're cheap. It's just like $50. You get a portable DVD player with a USB charger. You just recharge it, USB plug. How are you going to get the power? Well, there's solar powered things. There's other things like that you could charge. And it's not much. And I'm just saying, like, when things are not great, a little bit of comfort is always nice. But as I said, that's more, I'm not buying a bunch of DVDs to warehouse them for my apocalypse scenario, but it is something there. Rather, I just want to have them because the more common thing is just that they disappear. They get taken off of a streaming service, or you might watch them for a while. This is the same with television shows. Like I just got Arrested Development and The Office on DVD. Because, like, you know, I want to have them because you never know where they're going to end up. For a while, The Office was on Netflix. Then it got moved to Peacock. Then it gets moved here. It gets moved to there. So a thing that you like, or I like the television series Monk. My wife and I love Monk with Tony Shalhoub. And it's on Amazon, but it might not stay on Amazon forever. It could go, who knows where the stuff will go. And so it's nice to say, you know what? I don't need to subscribe to a bunch of stuff. I have it right here. And I'll always have it. I'll always have it right here. But in other cases, it's not even available on DVD. It's something that, like, it's media that I enjoyed, especially I enjoyed when I was a young adult or as a kid, and maybe I want to share it with my kids, but it's not available anywhere. So here, another thing that I'm doing for collecting physical media is downloading stuff that I can find. And that's where YouTube is actually pretty helpful. You can use a tool like ClipGrab, and you can download YouTube videos. I do that all the time for the show. Like, when I need to look at a clip or have a clip to put in an episode, I'll just download it so that, you know, I will have it. So I remember there was one show. So when I was a kid, I loved the Nickelodeon shows in the 90s. And there was one quirky show called The Adventures of Pete and Pete, about these two redheaded kids, Pete and Pete, and their weird adventures in their kind of surreal neighborhood. It's a live action show. And if you watch a Nickelodeon, you know what I'm talking about. It's just that older 90s surreal humor. And it's just fun. It does not exist on DVD. I've never seen it on DVD anywhere. And it's just not out there. But I have seen, or it might have been on a DVD collection that is no longer sold and you can't find it anywhere. But some people, for those rare DVDs that are out there that aren't for sale, you can sometimes find them used, but other people will take from that and they will upload it to the internet. So there's all kinds of shows that are, you know, from the past that that I've enjoyed that aren't available on DVD, and they're online. So what I do is I just download them, put them on a flash drive, and if I want to watch them, I can put them into my Roku TV and hit the media slot. And I can watch them, and they're mine. And that way, I don't have to worry that, like, oh, they're not on the internet anymore. This channel got taken down. And so that media is lost forever. No, I can go and find that. So I'm just going to wrap here a little bit with just some of the tips and tricks, things that I have done to build up my physical media collection. And you can follow those as well. Like, maybe you're interested. You might think, oh, yeah, that's, I want to have all the movies that I love in my house. But, you know, you don't want to break the bank when you do that. So here's what I do. First, I've made just like a list of movies like I really enjoyed. I go back to Wikipedia and look at the films that were released every year. And I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that one. That was great. I'd love to get a copy of that. Like, there's some movies that are hard for you to come across and you don't want to lose them. You might not be able to find them on streaming, or it's rare to find them, and they're just classics. I'll give you one. I think this is back in 1990. There's a movie called Clifford. And my wife and I love this movie. It's a dark comedy with Martin Short. And basically, Martin Short plays a 10-year-old boy, but who's being watched over by his uncle. And he's like Dennis the Menace on steroids. Like, he's absolutely sociopathic, but in a comedic and funny way. I'm doing my best to describe it, but it's a dark comedy. And I think Martin Short is hilarious because the way he acts, if you hired an actual 10-year-old, it wouldn't work, but he just gets all the mannerisms of an obnoxious 10-year-old down perfectly. And so it's hard. You want to like find these movies, and I'm just so glad I finally found it on DVD and I can always have it. And, you know, they're not going to remove Clifford or something. Oh, two other reasons I want to add in here of why I want to be collecting DVDs. Well, number one, especially if I move into Blu-ray later, I might do that for some of them. But physical media, it allows you to have higher quality, especially if you use something like Blu-ray versus streaming, which ends up compressing a lot of it. Now, I'm doing DVDs. It's not as high quality. But if you move to physical media, that's the same with vinyl. It's the same with a lot of other things. You're going to get higher quality than you can stream through the internet. Also, another reason is that there's some movies you like that people might say, that's not appropriate anymore. So, for example, I got the DVD of Heavyweights, the Disney movie Heavyweights, for my kids to watch, because I think that movie is hilarious. But they may say in the future, yeah, you can't have a movie about sending kids to fat camp. It's not, you know, body positivity and all that. So I want to make sure I have it in case some of these movies that I enjoy from the past are deemed not appropriate anymore and can no longer be found. So for a lot of DVDs, you might want to buy them new. That's fine. I find in a lot of cases, if you buy them used, they're pretty serviceable. A lot of places, if it says very good on Amazon, like, it might be new for $12, but used for $1.80. And you can get it. And if you just filter in Prime, you get free shipping. Maybe it's like $4. And if it's very good or higher, usually they're pretty clean. They don't have scratches. If you're really worried about it, just, you know, buy it new. But I found that going through Amazon, instead of buying it new, there's a lot of DVDs, or there might be an edition of a film. So you might be like, oh, I really want to watch this film. and it's $20 on Amazon. But you scroll through a bit and you see there's like a 20th anniversary edition of that same DVD that was mass produced but not bought, and you get it for like $4. So you have to just keep kind of scrolling through there to be able to find it. Some of them, though, you might have to go to eBay for like used DVDs that like people really don't find anymore. And some of them you could just search online. You might, if it's discontinued, some people might upload it to the internet. And if you use a tool like ClipGrab, you can download it. I feel like that's moral. I don't consider, that is not stealing to me, because if it is out of print and I just download a used copy of it from somewhere, I haven't stolen from the original creator. I haven't stolen from the creator royalties that he's due, because it's out of print now. I do the same thing with books that are out of print. If a book is out of print, there's a DVD and there's a PDF of it on the internet, I'll download that and keep it in my personal library. That way I'm able to have it. Another great way to get cheap DVDs is garage sales. Go to OfferUp, go to garage sales. You can get DVDs there. If I go real analog, I might start a VHS collection. That would be real, like real analog. I'd love to maybe do that in the future. And your best bet to get a lot of those cheap, just go to a garage sale. A lot of people will offer DVDs like a dollar a DVD. Another great place to get cheap DVDs, if you want to do this like how I'm doing, if you go to Target.com or Walmart.com, look at their DVD section online. They often offer a lot of DVDs there only online, not in the store. And they're really cheap, like $5. And they'll have a disclaimer that says this item is only available for purchases over $35. So you can go and there will be DVDs of classic films, like classic, really good films in there. Like I wanted to get a copy of Wayne's World, for example. Wayne's World, Party On, excellent. I thought I had a copy of Wayne's World, but I did not. I was like, oh, I want a copy of that. And I see on Target.com, it's like $3.74. I'm like, that's cheaper than Amazon. So if you just say, you know, I'm going to invest $35 in DVDs today, you might walk away with like 9 DVDs. If you just get a mix of $5, $4 DVDs and get them all, and you could get free shipping, maybe a little bit of tax. And it comes out to you get a box of DVDs and it was like $5 a copy, basically. So I found that that's helpful there. Just use Target.com, Walmart.com for DVDs. Amazon used can also be helpful. And sometimes if you want a series of things, like let's say, like I wanted the Final Destination films, but I hate the later Final Destinations. Though I heard Bloodlines is good. I might go see that. I just want like the earlier ones. So it's like, oh, well, sometimes there's similar with Fast and the Furious or some James Bond. Or if a movie came out in a series, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, if you didn't like films 6 and 7 in the series, you can often find a really cheap DVD of the 5 film collection before the 6th and 7th film came out. Because it's like, oh, nobody wants to buy an incomplete collection. So the price goes down. You can get it used. You can get it pretty cheap in that way. And in other cases, though, you can buy a new DVD. Some people don't like a bunch of DVDs on one case. Like it's not the aesthetic they want. So I have gotten like the 4 movie Lego collection for like $5, or the Mummy trilogy for like $5. Just another $7 for a DVD collection. So that's like, that is a great deal right there, because you're getting movies in for like $2 a copy, and it's cheaper than even if you rented the movie on Amazon. You rent it from Amazon, you got 48 hours to finish it, and then, you know, you watch it, you get tired at night, you don't finish, and something happens the next day, and bam, it's gone. And you could spend $4 or $5 just on a 48-hour rental, or you can get the DVD and have it around forever. Also, if you get the DVD, it's just kind of nice, because Laura and I felt this way. You don't just spend all your time doom scrolling on Netflix or things like that, where you're just scrolling, what do I watch? What do I watch? There's something much more satisfying about looking at your physical DVD collection. You're much more likely to pick something, put it into the disc. The tray comes out, goes back in. It just feels like more of an experience of watching something communally together, of being together, than just sitting in front of the internet, which streaming basically is. It's internet. So we found that rewarding in that sense. So, all right, that is my hobby, my physical collection hobby for physical media. And I hope I gave you some tips if you want to jump on this wagon while you still can. So thank you guys so much, and I hope you have a very blessed weekend.